Looking forward to our chat this afternoon with Dr. Ron Ehrlich. Hello, Ron. How are you, mate?
Thanks, Brent. How are you?
I'm not bad. I've got an email here from Dennis. Dennis said, Brent, can you ask your dental expert why a mate of mine was quoted over $70,000 here in Australia for dental implants when he went to India and received the same treatment for $11,000? He said, and yes, they are all titanium implants. Now, he said, are we being screwed? No pun intended. Boom, boom. I tell the story of a mate of mine here in Newcastle, and I think he went to Thailand or somewhere over there to get, and I'm pretty sure it was implants. But when he came back, he had a few crack, and he had to, or one or two of them crack. He had problems with them, and he had to fly all the way back to be it Singapore or Thailand to get them fixed.
Yeah, look, you know, it's an interesting issue, and I think it's true of this whole globalization thing about labor and costs, etc. I mean, it's no secret that Sydney is one, or Australia is an expensive place to live and work, and equipment and all of that, putting aside. So there are different underlying costs in everything, but the main issue is one of accountability. You see, an ongoing relationship, and you mentioned the person who's broken something, because what goes on when you have a dental procedure done is it's not like you buy something and that's it. You never have to worry about it again. There is an ongoing commitment of care, of monitoring, of checking, of taking things that are put in very seriously and providing back, you know, support for that. So I think the issue, you know, look, the cost factor is a fact of life in that stuff in India is a hell of a lot cheaper and in Thailand and in Southeast Asia than it is in Australia. That's a given, not just in dental work, but in every aspect you want to look at. But when it comes to dental treatment, and this isn't about quality, because I'm not saying there isn't good quality done overseas. That would be arrogant of me to say that. But what I am saying is the issue of dental work, particularly complex dental work, is one of accountability and an ongoing relationship with care and monitoring. And people, you know, when people come in and have dental work done in any dental practice, every single dentist that I know takes that responsibility very seriously. So I think it's a lot more than just cost. But cost, yeah, look, things are cheaper overseas, and particularly in Asia. That's not a surprise to anybody.
Okay, that's a good segue into a chat about dental health and how it affects your overall health. We keep reading stories that dental health is dental hygiene, dental health is so important, and I suppose we often take it for granted. We don't listen because a lot of us don't like going to the dentist, so we put that off. Yeah. But bad dental hygiene can lead to bad health in a person. Is that correct?
Look, that is correct. And hey, listen, Brent, we all get our turn in the chair, and not even I skip into the dental chair and think, oh, how exciting. I'm really looking forward to this. But I think the issue about dental health is an important one, because part of the problem is that people equate not being in pain with good dental health. You know, like, nothing hurts, so I'm fine. And actually, the mouth is the black hole of healthcare the black hole of healthcare, because most medical and health practitioners know nothing or very little about what goes on in the mouth. And we've sat around with my partners and we've observed many times that 95% of oral disease, that is tooth decay, gum disease and oral cancer, 95% of the oral, the dental, of oral disease has no pain associated with it at all.
Right.
So, you know, if you went into a cardiologist and the cardiologist said, Brent, are you in pain? And you went, nope. And he went, oh, we'll come back when you're in pain. You'd think, oh, that was a bit strange. Or an oncologist, same. Well, it's exactly the same in the mouth too. So no pain does not mean there isn't a problem. That leads us to the two most common infections known to man, woman, or child, and that is tooth decay and gum disease. 90% of people of all ages have some form of gingival gum inflammation, and 45 to 50% have a deeper problem of periodontal disease, which is the way the bone and the tooth connect. So, you know, the common denominator in all diseases is chronic inflammation. Doesn't matter if we're talking about heart disease, cancer, autoimmune, even mental health conditions as well. Chronic inflammation is the common denominator, and the mouth is the most common site of chronic inflammation.
The mouth is the most chronic site of?
The most common site of chronic inflammation. So it's chronic inflammation that runs through every disease in the body. Right. The body becomes chronically inflamed, and that compromises the immune system, and it sets up diseases, depending on your genetic predisposition, depending on other predisposing factors. The chronic inflammation is the common denominator in every chronic degenerative disease. Heart disease, cancer, the lot.
I was about to say, what about the link between dental health and heart disease?
Well, that's it. That's exactly why, because we now recognize that it wasn't just about high cholesterol being the cause of heart disease. If your body is chronically inflamed, then you are more predisposed to heart disease. If your body is chronically inflamed, then your body is more susceptible to various cancers. So chronic inflammation is the problem. And when gums, for example, we ask people, do your gums ever bleed? And people go, oh, yeah, but only when I brush or when I floss they bleed. And then they say, but I don't. Then I stop flossing for a couple of days and I'm fine. Well, I draw another analogy there. If every time you washed your hands, the cuticles of your nails bled, would your response to that be, oh, I might just stop washing my hands for a few days and I'll be right?
Right.
You wouldn't do that. No. So bleeding gums tell us there's inflammation, and that shouldn't be ignored.
Apart from bleeding gums, I mean, how do you know your body is inflamed? Are there other telltale signs?
Well, it depends on how you're feeling. I mean, I think how you're feeling is important. Do you have any diagnosable diseases is probably a fair way down the track. But there, we talked a little bit about digestion a few weeks ago. And when we talked about the bowel movements and all of that. So the body sends the signals, and the body's how you digest your food. Do you get reflux, heartburn, indigestion? Are you constipated? Do you have diarrhea? Do you have skin conditions? Do you feel chronically tired? These are all things that give us an indication that there is some form of inflammation going on in the body.
If you brush your teeth twice a day and you floss, is that is that good enough health hygiene for your mouth to ward off cavities and things like that?
That's a very good place to start, and it's a very important step in the process. And because you're doing it, it's literally in your own hands, and you are literally doing it every day, hopefully twice a day, then you have the greatest impact on that. So oral hygiene, good brushing and flossing technique are really important, because what you're trying to do is disrupt the bacteria. You're never going to make your mouth sterile. You're never going to get rid of all the bacteria. You know, there are hundreds of different species of bacteria in the mouth, like there are throughout the whole body, and it's essentially a struggle between our friends and our foes, the good and the bad. And one of the things that brushing and flossing does is it disrupts the bacteria and puts air and into those areas where it promotes the healthier bacteria to proliferate and gets the worst bacteria out of the way. So, you know, the whole oral hygiene is a really important thing. The other really important thing is not to feed your foes. When you put something in your mouth, food or drink, are you feeding the friendly bacteria or are you feeding the unfriendly bacteria? And that's a question for the whole body. So diet is another important factor, and diet is also about what you drink. Water is still the best drink.
Is chewing non-sugar gum good for dental health?
I personally don't think so. I mean, it's a big industry, and they sponsor some very interesting research. But I don't think that's necessary. I mean, I think the idea of chewing for hours on end is not the way we have evolved. If you add it up in a 24-hour period, how often teeth actually touch during three meals a day and throughout the day, it would add up to 15 to 30 minutes a day. For the rest of the time, the teeth aren't really meant to touch or shouldn't touch very hard. So chewing gum is unnecessary. I mean, it's a great sales gimmick. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. I mean, the whole issue of breast freshening, for example, there's a classic example, a $10 billion industry globally, which does really very little more than just mask a problem.
I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. We're going to have a chat. Maybe we'll do it next week. We'll talk about halitosis.
Oh, great topic.
It really is. I mean, and it can be in a workplace. It can be yep. such a problem, can it not? But it can also be a problem in relationships.
Oh, absolutely. Look, we actually, I'll send you, we did quite a bit of research on this in the last year, and we got some market research done. So let's do that. I think there's some interesting facts about that that I think people will find interesting.
Just quickly before I have to go up to the news, electric brush or manual brush?
Look, a lot of people love electric brushes, and the thing about electric brushes, it makes you feel like you're a dentist.
Yes.
You know, you've got this thing going in your mouth, and you've got to use it a little bit differently. You can't move it backwards and forwards. You've got to use each tooth individually. But it works well, and make sure you don't brush hard. People... It motivates people to brush their teeth more and more thoroughly. That's a good thing. Some people don't like the vibration. It's not a must. But you know, it can be a good thing.
Okay. Always good to talk to you, Dr. Ron Ehrlich. Thank you for your time. And I'll give you a book a plug later on too.
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you for sending us a copy. We appreciate it.
Take care.
We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. That's Dr. Ron Ehrlich. There you go. So to brush with a electric battery-powered toothbrush or manually, go out and grab yourself an electric toothbrush. They do a whole lot better job, they do. And I'm disappointed that the chewing gum thing doesn't work. I was only saying that earlier. Never mind. That's the way it goes.